Independent Business Podcast is brought to you by Honeybook, the all-in-one platform for anyone with clients. Book clients, manage projects, and get paid faster, all with Honeybook. You can use the code podcast to get 20% off your brand new account and let business flow your way. Over the past few years, brands that we know and love have become more edgy and even unhinged in their marketing strategies. But what is unhinged marketing? Unhinged marketing leans into bolder, unconventional strategies to connect with your audience. From trending memes to funny brand voices, this type of strategy goes against the grain when it comes to traditional marketing. But is unhinged marketing a sustainable strategy when it comes to growing our business? Well, today on the podcast, we have our very own social media manager of Honeybook, Gabby Conacher, and the social media manager of Planoly, Danielle Townsley. And we sat down for an honest conversation about whether or not unhinged marketing is here to stay and tips for independent business owners on how we can show up more boldly in our own marketing. Now let's get into the episode. Hey everyone, this is your host, Akua Kanadu, and you're listening to the Independent Business Podcast. More people than ever are working for themselves and building profitable businesses in the process. So on this show, I get to sit down with some of the most influential authors, entrepreneurs, and creators to break down the science of self-made success so that you can achieve it too. Hello, hello, Danielle and Gabby. How are we doing today?
Great. It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Yes, I'm doing good.
So excited to have both of you today on the show because I just want the tea. I want to know your true thoughts when it comes to social media strategy and just the trending topic of unhinged marketing. So thank you both so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Yeah, very happy to be here.
Awesome. Okay, sweet. Let's get into it. So as social media managers, like Danielle, you're the social media manager for Planoly. Gabby, you are our amazing social media manager for Honeybook. What is your hot take in regards to unhinged marketing?
So my hot take actually is that I think it might be on the way out. I think it's really hot right now, and I think a lot of brands are jumping on. But personally, I feel like from what I've seen on social media and just certain content that I see trending and stuff, I feel like it might be kind of moving towards more like positivity and not necessarily like chaos. Or I think that that was really fun. But the more brands that jump on and like try to be unhinged, I feel like the less authentic it becomes. So that's kind of one of my, I mean, who knows? It might not happen. It might be here to stay. It would be fun. But that's just something that I've been kind of noticing recently and thinking about a little bit.
Yeah. Gabby, what about you?
I think unhinged is thrown around so loosely nowadays. I think it's become such a popularized term. And I think like the originators, the people that really created that like whole phenomenon, which are like people like Scrub Daddy or Ryanair or Wendy's, like I think that they are still like, I see that being a really long lasting strategy for them because they're really like the people that created that. But yeah, I mean, I would agree with Danielle. I think that everyone's doing it and I think it's becoming a little bit less interesting and it's not going to be a strategy that people can continue to rely on. And so I think, you know, but that being said, I think there's always room for like, people love a brand that doesn't take themselves too seriously and isn't afraid to be witty. And so I feel like that is more so, at least for like Honeybook, I try to focus on just like not taking ourselves too seriously, like just kind of poking fun at our members. But I wouldn't call that unhinged. I would just say, you know, we are more like sassy, witty, but definitely not unhinged.
Love that. Definitely. I just want to put in a plug, like check out the social media because you are witty. So yes. And Danielle, do you consider Planoly? I mean, have you guys really leaned into those unhinged strategies or just no?
Yeah. I mean, we definitely, I would say that we started off as a very like positivity focused like platform maybe a few years ago. And we've kind of moved into a more playful side. I do say we don't like to take ourselves too seriously. I think that this unhinged trend that we've been seeing has kind of given us and a lot of other brands the permission to be a bit more playful and like have a bit more fun and not take ourselves too seriously, not be too glued to a specific brand voice or tone, just kind of encourage us to be a little bit more adaptable. But I don't think we've fully gone like Duolingo unhinged where we still have, you know, things that we like to stay away from or things that we like to embody more. But it's fun sometimes to throw in like a witty post or a funny tweet or whatever it might be. And some of our best performing content has been like, quote unquote, unhinged, but not like full unhinged. It's more, like I say, playful, maybe like bantery, but not necessarily like chaos.
Yeah, I feel like it's just saying like things that are true, like kind of just saying the things that people are maybe afraid to say. Like, I don't know, for Honeybook, like I love to poke fun at our members that like, you know, they don't set up their automations or like, you know, they have projects in their account from like years ago. And that's not unhinged. We're just kind of like speaking a truth. And I think it makes your audience feel seen. They're like, wow, like they really like know like the good and, you know, like they know the not so positive sides of me as like a business owner or whoever your audience is. And so, yeah, I think it's just being able to play into like, you know, understanding your audience and like just speaking to the realities of being a business owner.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think that's just such a good point of, like I said, just even doing research, it's true. Like you see like Duolingo where like these brands, they are just unleashing, truly, like honestly showing up. But I just love how both of you have really just, okay, like maybe that's not where our brand lies on, right? But we can still be witty. We can still show up. Again, really just knowing your target audience and speaking to the reality of what it is that they're facing on a day-to-day basis. So I really, really love that that's how you guys are leaning more into it. I'm just really interested because I know, Gabby, like you had mentioned like these brands that have started it. And so I'm really curious just to know more exactly where did the unhinged marketing essentially come from in more detail?
Personally, I mean, from my knowledge, I feel like Wendy's is kind of like the original creator of that. I feel like they kind of kicked it off for, you know, all the even like other major brands to follow. And yeah, and then I think like Scrub Daddy is also someone that comes to mind. And I think I mentioned Ryanair, like I think even Duolingo, I'm pretty sure Zarya, their social media manager, was inspired by a lot of Ryanair's social media manager's work. And so, yeah, I think people saw that it was like, I think people saw that people were reacting to it and it was going viral and people were loving it. And I think that's what inspired it.
Yeah, I think, again, like what made it take off was that it was unexpected. It was just so different to what other brands were doing. You know, you're taught in marketing to stick to your brand voice. And these brands were like being, you know, playful and fun and like just straight, like very real and not afraid to like poke fun at their audience and that was just not really seen as much. So I think that's what kind of made it go viral and made it take off. I think another brand that comes to mind is Slim Jim. I remember seeing them comment on like everything, every single post I see, there's like a Slim Jim comment. But yeah, I think that's kind of like, those are the OG brands that started it. And it's like everything goes viral and everyone wants to jump on it. But it does seem like more and more brands recently are trying to do that. And I don't think it's a successful strategy for everyone. I think it definitely depends on the brand and whether or not it's authentic to the spirit of your brand.
Since you guys have essentially just said that this is not something that really works for everybody, and especially like you guys are not fully leaning into that, right? You're just embracing just again like the things that you're already currently doing. And so what current marketing strategies are you implementing right now that you feel is working very well for your social media strategy?
I think I spoke to this a little bit, but everything I post is like, I guess I'm constantly seeking to understand our members, whether that's just, you know, our members are other independent business owners that, you know, are building their own businesses. And so I seek to understand, okay, what are like the struggles of being a business owner? And then also I want to understand like, how do they actually like use our product? And then how do they like talk about our product? So personally, like I'll go on social and I see, okay, what are like the funny things people are saying about Honeybook? Or I'll literally go on our platform and I'll poke around and I'll use it so I can kind of put myself in the shoes of our members. And then I use that to create social. Like some of our like best performing content was things that people were just saying about our brand organically that I then like repurposed. So this idea that like people love to check their email read receipts to like see that their client that said that they didn't read their email did read it. And that wasn't like a joke that we came up with. Like people were just organically sharing that. And so I think listening is so important because people will tell you like what they think about your brand and what they find is funny. And so that is a really like big part of our social strategy. And I would say like everything I post, I always have that in mind. Like, are our members going to feel like we get them when we share this? Like, is this going to make them feel seen and understood by us?
Love that.
I love that too. I do think it goes back to, like you said, understanding your audience and understanding your users and what they need from you. And the deeper you understand them, the more relatable you can be to them. And, you know, the humor comes in with that. I feel like the success of people like Duolingo is that they started making inside jokes with their audience about their own platforms. And that's what really like hits. And so if you can't do it with your platforms, even like we do poke fun at ourselves and our platform and, you know, like you said, things people say online. We do a lot of social listening too and listen to what people are saying about competitors as well and see like what people are struggling with so that we can figure out how to help them. I think like making inside jokes about your product, if you can do that, is amazing. Like you said, you go into the product and you're like seeing how users are experiencing that product. And I guess what I was trying to say is if you can't do that, like I think the next best thing that we do a lot is we make inside jokes with our audience about things that they care about. So we target creators and we target social media managers. And so we try and understand like, what kind of content are they consuming? Like, what are they thinking about? What's the pop culture they're looking at? And like, how can we get in on that joke with them? So, you know, we did like a post recently. It was like a Valentine's Day post and it was making fun of those like little Valentines you used to see with like the Comic Sans. And it's like, we did that, but we made it like creator focus. So we did all these inside jokes with like the creators that are really taking off on TikTok right now, like Pookie and Jet and Susie with her store-bought pesto. So, and like that one did very, very well with our audience because they're very plugged into like that creator network and that's who they watch and that's who they like. And I think being able to, like you said, just understand like who your users and your audience like are and what they like and just everything about them. It's marketing 101, you know who you're targeting. And then you can make these jokes with them. You can like plug in and find out what they are caring about and how they can use your product better or how your product can solve a problem for them. And if you can add humor in, I think that's always like the most relatable thing. People just love sharing stuff that makes them laugh. So
absolutely. I love that. I think, again, it just drives it home that like really know who your target audience is and like really putting, like what you said, Gabby, putting myself in their shoes so I can literally see things from their perspective. And I think that helps you make content a lot easier. I think a lot of the times as independent business owners, we just get so caught up in the metrics and like, you know, that just that dopamine hit when we get the likes and the shares and all of that stuff. And sometimes if we don't hit those goals, we forget who we're serving. And so I think it's just such an important thing, again, of like think about your target audience, put them first when you're creating that content consistently. So I think that's just such an important reminder. Another thing that I'm really curious about is like you guys talk about those pop culture moments, right? And I think that also stems from just with some of these unhinged marketing strategies. And so keeping up with trends, right? I know not everybody's a big trend person, but I've just seen, especially in the HoneyBook end too, like I've seen it on both Planoly and HoneyBook, where you guys have taken just some of these great pop culture moments and really related it back to the product. How exactly are you guys listening? Like, how are you guys staying on top of these trends and really thinking, all right, this trend is going to work well, this one isn't? Like, what are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, I have a ridiculously high screen time, so.
I can also agree with that.
So it begins with just consuming a lot of social media, but I don't consume it in that, like, I'm not like scrolling TikTok and like saving all these sounds and like, oh, I want to use this. I'm scrolling because I want to see like, okay, how are people like, you know, there's like the lingo on social media. And so I think just even understanding like, you know, the funny ways people are talking on social and yeah. And so I guess consuming a lot, learning how, like knowing how people are talking. And then in terms of like choosing which ones you engage with, I mean, we do engage with a lot of trends, but I've honestly like, you know, that's not our strategy. We're not like just doing sounds all the time. And I don't want to ever be in a place where we're like lenient on that. And so I always push myself to kind of create our own like unique way of talking about our platform that is still like on trend and is still like, you know, not like dated. And yeah, so I am choosy with what trends that we engage with. And I, back to what I said, like, I think, you know, does this really resonate with us as a brand? Is it going to resonate with our audience? So I am particular and I don't just hop on every trend, as I don't think anyone should. I think that should always come from a place of intention of really asking, like, does this align with our brand, with my brand tone of voice, with what I'm like selling.
Yeah, I love what you said about not being lenient on trends, because they are so fleeting. They come and go so quickly. It shouldn't be, I don't think, the majority of any single brand strategy. But one thing I do love about trends is they kind of create the opportunity for these like organic moments if you can hop on them quickly. And if they align, again, like I said, with your brand voice and like who your brand is, then I think that they're really fun. But again, I do, and it can be like a fun creative outlet of like, how do I, okay, this is a great trend. Like, can I relate it to our product? Like, and how do we do that? And that could create some great content. It's really fun to kind of, you know, riff off of these trends. But again, being choosy, being selective, and always having the authenticity at the core of like, does this make sense? Because I feel like our audiences and Gen Z especially, like, they are laser focused. They can see right through BS. So it's like, if it's, you're forcing it, it's not going to hit and it's not going to resonate.
Yeah, 1000%. I think, again, it's just to your point, you know, because social media just evolved so quickly. And I feel like it's just continuing to evolve, and to the point of like staying true to yourself and staying grounded in like literally who you are. Of like, does this feel good to me? Is this going to be aligned with what I'm doing? And then also too, is it going to align with my target audience and the people that I'm trying to serve? I think keeping that first and foremost is so key, because I do think like TikTok, I still think is obviously a very powerful platform, but I feel like the way that we're now shifting and using TikTok has drastically changed. I think same thing with Reels on Instagram is drastically changing, where maybe trends aren't the biggest focus. It's really truly creating high quality content that's going to genuinely serve a purpose for your audience. So I really love that, just those facts that you're sharing, because you do see these big brands, right? And you see them being witty and you see them being fun and you see them being trendy. And I feel like it's easy to be like, I'm not that way. But I think, again, just to both of your guys' points of just leaning into like your personality, I think both of you do that so well, of just, and also to the personality of your brand, to create such great content that truly connects with our audience. So absolutely love that. How do you guys feel about just like finding the balance between taking risks and, you know, just creating strategy? I think sometimes we get caught up in our head when it comes to creating content of like, we want to be perceived a certain way. And I think that's valid, but I think also to pushing the envelope more so, like, how do you guys find the balance between the two?
I think that's a hard question to answer. I think a lot of it just comes from the intuition that like social media managers have about like, you know, how far can you go? And I think that's hard to define. I think it's just, you also have to, it's unique to everyone, right? And like, you have an understanding of your audience better than anyone else. And so just really relying on your intuition of like, is this like going, I think like you only know how far you can go personally. But in terms of like pushing the boundaries, like for us at Honeybook, Threads has been such a great experimental platform for us. It's, I feel like Instagram is kind of like the big one for us, where it's like everything that goes there, like, you know, it's kind of like has to be like a perfect piece of content in my mind. But Threads, I feel like I can kind of post whatever. If it doesn't perform well, like it's low stakes. Also, if, you know, I feel like I can really experiment there, which then informs our more kind of like the platforms where we have like a bigger audience, like something like Instagram. And so for us, that's been really pivotal in like helping us push the boundaries, because it's just a platform where we can just have fun and experiment and test things out. And so I think, you know, if you have a space like that where you feel like you can just be free and experiment, like that is a great place to do it. And I would encourage anyone. I feel like Twitter is also a great platform for that, where, you know, in general, it's just more of a casual, like conversational, it's not so serious like Instagram. So I would really lean into those platforms where you can just play around with like your brand tone of voice and not be so afraid about like saying the wrong thing or not putting together like the perfect piece of content.
Love that. What about you, Danielle?
Yeah, I was going to say too, y'all are killing it on Threads. Like I always
do. They are.
Thank you. Yeah, I think like just being experimental and like being in the mindset of, if you're going to go there and you want to test the waters, like do it and be like not afraid, but also listen to your audience, because they will give you feedback. So like if you post a piece of content that like you think is great and they're not liking it, like the engagement will speak for itself. And sometimes you'll even get comments that are like, this isn't it. And then you think, okay, then, you know, we tried that and that's not it. And we'll go in a different direction. And I do love what you said, Gabby, about experimenting on different platforms. Like for us, I think TikTok is that platform that we feel a little bit safer to kind of experiment on. We're kind of in the same boat where Instagram is definitely more of like a more polished, more like intentional platform. And TikTok is kind of like a little playground where we can post memes or we can post this. And if it works well, then maybe we'll take that and put it onto Instagram, maybe in a different way or maybe polish it a little bit. But I think it's just being brave, still having your brand voice in mind, but also, like you said, like leaning into your personality, because every brand has a personality. And so it's just what aspects of that personality can you really like push? And you're going to step over the line sometimes, and that's okay. And you would have to like know that, as long as you're not, you know, intentionally doing anything like offensive or something like that. I think it's fine every now and then for brands to have misses. And honestly, I think we need to normalize that a little bit more, because the pressure on social is a whole other conversation. But I think if you want to try and be experimental, like be experimental, find what works for you, find the different ways that your brand can authentically like lean into these different aspects of your persona, and then go with that.
Oh, I love that. Both of you guys just shared so much valuable things. Go on, Gabby.
I wanted to add a note, because I feel like a lot of what we talked about is like being witty and funny, which is great, but it's also like not everyone is like witty or funny, and like not everyone has to do that. And so pushing the boundaries can mean more than that too. Like if I'm thinking as like an independent business owner, like I would just hop on stories and just like talk and like share about my life. And I feel like that in its own way is like pushing the boundaries, like maybe peeling back the curtain of your business and like showing people like behind the scenes, or just showing more of like who you are as a person. Like that is pushing the boundaries in a different way as well. So I think, you know, thinking beyond, it doesn't just always have to be funny or like memes, you know, that can mean different things for different people. So
I love.
Yeah, I love that. Yes, that's such a great highlight, is that I'm not witty. I already know. Like, I'm not leaning in witty on my content. You know what I mean? And I've embraced it about my personality. You know what I mean? I know I'm a little bit more sassy, or, you know, again, like really just tuning in on your gifts, mm-hmm. and essentially using that and leveraging that. And when you go in, when you were creating content, I think that's just so important. And experimentation, I love what both of you shared. And I found it so interesting how both of you now view Instagram as more as this serious kind of platform, and how it's evolving into that, which I found so interesting, because, you know, LinkedIn was kind of like that, and Facebook was where it was like, oh yeah, those are the more of the serious platforms. Then like Instagram is where you can kind of let your hair down and kind of do your thing. And just hearing both of you guys say like, you know, maybe it's a little bit more polished. And then you have these other platforms like Threads, where you're able to just let your hair down more. So I think that is so, so interesting. Want to kind of lean a little bit more into Threads, right? Because we have a bonus episode that we did during season one where Threads first launched. And here we are. I don't even know how many months it's been now. What are your thoughts on Threads? I know, like, Gabby, you've mentioned how leaning more into community building, you've kind of seen it there. What are your thoughts even more further with that?
For us personally, it's been an amazing like platform for Honeybook. I think, you know, the growth that we've seen on that platform has been amazing. And it's just, you know, we have a really strong sense of community on Instagram, and we've never really been able to create that same sense of community to the same extent on other platforms, but Threads has totally been that platform for us. So it's just super exciting. I feel like we feel very connected to our members on that platform. I think they feel the same way. And so, yeah, it's been, I know that, you know, the future of Threads, I feel like, is very uncertain, and there's definitely limitations to it. I mean, there's not even like analytics on the platform, but I think also it is kind of a special moment in time for the platform, because there isn't any analytics. There's no ads yet. It's really just a platform to have fun and have conversation and connect with your audience. And so it's been a very, like, it is a very big part of our strategy, and we see the value in it. That's where people go to talk to us, talk about our brand, mention us. And so we want to be where our audience is. And so I think, again, it differs for everyone. It's going to be different dependent on your business or, you know, where your audience is. But for us, it's a really exciting platform. And I love Threads. Threads is like my favorite. So
Yeah. I love that. What about you, Danielle? How are you guys? Are you guys leaning into Threads or maybe not at all?
We're not leaning into it actually as much. It's just not one of our priority platforms right now, but we did get on it back when it first like came out, and it was kind of like one of those surprising, like jarring, oh my gosh, there's a new platform, like we got to get on it now moments. But I was actually so pleasantly surprised by it. I agree with everything Gabby said. Like, it just seems like such a positive place, which is so rare on social media, because usually you see, I mean, Instagram comment sections, just like I've had to put boundaries on myself from like, I won't read them for certain like accounts or whatever, because it's just too much. But Threads is just a place where you can really like you said, like let loose, but like people love it, and it starts conversations, and people are more like, I feel like the engagement is a lot easier to get on Threads for some reason. I don't know what it is about that environment, but people like converse more. And I see like all these wonderful posts about like, oh, like I'm looking for like-minded people who love reading or who love this or love that, like comment and like, let's follow each other and let's like build this community. And I just, you don't see that very often on other platforms. So it is like a place that I like being on. Again, it's more of kind of like a testing ground for us right now. It's not just, it doesn't drive towards the goals that we currently have necessarily. We did a little bit of testing with it and it didn't like correlate. I know that there might be a time when Instagram kind of like integrates those a little bit more, where maybe engagement on Threads will like correlate to engagement on Instagram. And I do think it's interesting how they're kind of weaving them together, where now you can see the Threads posts on Instagram while you're scrolling mm-hmm. feeds. But yeah, unfortunately right now it's not a priority for us, but I do personally love the platform. Like every time I go on it, it's a more uplifting experience than it is anything else, which I think is really awesome.
I love that. I think, number one, I just want to even highlight both. Like, you guys have both such different goals and strategies, and you're doing what works best for you and the brand that you respectively work for. And I think I just want to highlight that, because it's independent business owners. Again, like, literally look at your strategy and build it around what's going to best serve you and your audience. I just want to really reiterate that, because both of you guys are doing totally two completely different things and serving two completely different people in different ways. And again, as independent business owners, we can get caught up in that, where we see what other people are doing and we want to do that instantly. And it's like, truly, like, look at the data of an experiment. Experimentation is just key. Come from it from a place of curiosity, essentially. Ask those questions of like, okay, well, what if I do this? And let's just see how it goes. And don't get so attached to the results, because social media is just, it's so fleeting. Every single day there's something different and it can be so exhausting. But I think in order to still be showing up sustainably and to where like you're able to, where it leads to growth, really sit down and look at your data and then be able to make the next steps from there, essentially. So I just love that. And I want to highlight that. And I think Threads, I love that it's still going, you know what I mean? Because I know it's kind of fallen off that in my mind, but I love that you guys are still, even though, Daniel, like you said, you're not using it right now, it's not serving the main goals that you have on your end, but you still see some value in it. You see how it's an uplifting experience. I think a lot of business owners too, accessibility, I think, is huge right now. Being able to feel closer to brands, being closer to people that you follow, whether influencers or, you know, whatever, I think that accessibility piece is so key. And I think Threads just kind of makes people feel much closer in a sense of, just as a community, like we feel much closer together, we feel more aligned, and just being able to feel like you're talking to a real person, I think, is just so key. So even if you're a business owner and you're like, well, oh my gosh, here's another platform, I think leveraging it to where you're just experimenting it, just show up and just start having conversations. If there's something that really inspires you, just respond and just see how it goes. So I love that. Thank you both so just for sharing your thoughts on that. And so what advice do you guys have for independent business owners in regards to their social media marketing strategy?
Kind of what I said earlier, like, obviously, you know, our approach to social is very different than when you are an independent business owner and you're running your own business. Like, that's completely different, because for the most part, you are your brand, like you are your business, which is different for us. But so if I honestly, I think what everything that we've said, I think it all goes back to like finding what like makes you unique. And then like talking about that. And I feel like as a business owner, what makes you unique is you. And so I would, if it was me, like I would just show, like I would hop on stories and I would just like show people, what am I working on? I would tell them, you know, this is the behind the scenes of my business. Or, and then I would just show them like personal elements of my life, because I think that that then allows people to connect with you. And like they connect with you as, you know, as a person and not just like this the service that you're offering. So that's one thing I would do. I would just, yeah, show people my personality, like show who I am, and kind of give them a look into the process of, you know, everything that I'm working on. And then what you were saying, Akua, like I would also just, you know, put less pressure on yourself to be everywhere when it comes to social, and really just like find one or two platforms that feel like they align with you and like your goals, and just, and then putting all your effort into those platforms versus trying to be everywhere, you know. And yeah, I think that's super important. Like you're already so busy as an independent business owner, like you don't need to worry about running like six different social channels. And so just like looking critically at like, you know, which one, which channel is going to allow you to connect with your audience best and which one's going to like get you towards your goals. And again, that's going to be different for everyone. So really just, I guess, defining your, like knowing what you're working towards and then really looking critically at like what platform is going to allow you to reach those goals.
I love that. Yeah, it's just so interesting because like business owners 10 years ago like didn't have to be social media managers like they do now. So I want to like back up what Gabby said of like, yeah, just laser focus on like the platforms that are going to work for you, because it's just, it's crazy to have to run a business and, you know, be a social media manager at the same time. But you can still do that if you're not trying to do everything. But I think for independent business owners, taking risks and just not being afraid to be uncomfortable. Social media is uncomfortable, and like being a creator is hard. And especially for business owners who like, that's not their main goal, is not to be a creator, but they're kind of forced into this creator position. It's hard. And so just like being unconventional and not being afraid to be unconventional, or not being afraid to try things, because those are the brands that always stand out, or the ones who are, you know, unabashedly them, who lean into their personality and, like Gabby said, lean into what make them unique, and just try different things. Like it might not be the content itself, it might be the format. So, you know, there's a lot of like discourse of like, you know, why can't I get out of the 200 views jail? And like, oh, your content's not good enough. And sometimes it's not that. Like sometimes your content is good and the things you have to say are good. It's just you're on the wrong platform trying to say it, or you're not saying it in the right way. Like maybe what you're posting as a static post should actually be a reel for your audience. You know, maybe telling them face to face is going to work better than, you know, posting it as a text post or a graphic, but it could be the opposite too. So it's sort of like pick a message, try it in a bunch of different ways, and the way that resonates with your audience, like lean into that. And don't be afraid to be different and to try different things, because you never know what's going to make you stand out and what people are really going to resonate with.
Yeah. Love that. I loved what both of you said. And I think, again, it just speaks to the fact that you don't have to be everywhere in order to be successful. Personally, myself, I'm not on multiple platforms. I'm on two. And I think also, too, for me as a business owner, it shifts depending on the season of business that I'm in, and also life. Like, do I have the capacity to be able to dedicate this much? I think Instagram has always been that main platform for me. And I know a lot of independent business owners, but like for me this season, I'm kind of starting to lean more towards Pinterest because I want to lean into more long form content, right? And experimenting and seeing if that's going to work for me, and let's see what that comes up. And again, to your point, I think what both of you just said, like you don't have to be on all the platforms. Like, does it align with your goals, and lean into that to be able to move forward? And I also just loved where you just said, don't be afraid to take those risks. And so a question I have for both of you is, you guys have absolutely had your misses. I mean, I think that's just, right, like how long you guys have been in the game doing social media management. Everybody's had their misses. How do you guys work through that mindset, especially if you have something that just doesn't hit or work out well? How do you guys work through that mindset? Because I think to your point with Danielle, with what you said earlier, where some independent business owners were like, I can't get out of this like 200, you know, view jail. It can be very, you know, discouraging and doesn't make you want to move forward. And so how do you guys, when you are trying different types of content and it doesn't land, how do you guys move forward?
We were getting out of a season of like experimentation personally. So there were a lot of things that like didn't work. We've been a company for almost 8 years now, I think. And so for a long time, I would say before the pandemic really, we kind of had like a formula for content that just was like consistently working. And then 2020 came around and everything changed, and TikTok became kind of king of platforms, and all the algorithms started changing to compete, and like suddenly the things that we were like reliant on and the content that we were used to doing so well weren't doing well anymore. And so we kind of had to be like, oh God, like, where do we go from here? And I think it all comes back to, again, listening to your audience, because their needs are changing too. And that's why, like, you know, the content that everyone's life's changed in 2020. So the content that we were providing was no longer like resonating with the people who's, you know, had much bigger things on their hands now. You know, they had job insecurity. They, you know, we're all inside. Like, we don't know what's going on. So like, okay, we need to listen to that and like think, what are these people wanting to see? Like, what kind of content can we give them that they're going to, like, maybe it's more uplifting right now. Maybe it's more inspiring. Maybe it's more comforting than, you know, witty or funny or whatever. I think coming out of the pandemic, there's been a shift into like this chaos content, like content and these unhinged strategies. Being funny, being witty, like, is really popular right now. And so you can adapt without losing yourself, but you definitely need to, again, be unafraid to do that, be unafraid to change and reassess and look at your content and say, okay, what is still working from my current strategy and what isn't? And like, what do I need to do in order to adapt successfully? And you could even ask your audience, like, you can go straight to your audience and be like, what do you guys want to see from us? Like, do you want more product-focused content? Do you want, you know, tips on marketing? Do you want funny, relatable, trending audios? And see what they say and like incorporate that and see if it does resonate. So I think there are a lot of options on how to take risks and how to experiment. And I think the most important thing is authenticity. Don't force it if it doesn't feel natural. Like, discomfort is different than like forcing something. So it's like, it's okay to be a little uncomfortable when you're starting a new type of content, or, you know, you're showing your face now instead of just your product. Of course, that's going to be uncomfortable. But if you're trying to force something, that's a different conversation. Like, don't force it. Be authentic, stay true to yourself, but also take the risks, be experimental, and ask your audience. It always comes back to them. Like, your users are the reason that you are a business. So what do they want to hear from you?
I love that. I agree. I would say that if you have like a message or an idea that you're really trying to get out there and you like post a piece of content and it like falls flat, that doesn't mean that like your message or service isn't good. It just means that the way you told it wasn't the way that you should have communicated it. And so it's about pivoting, like going back and being like, okay, how can I tell this in a different way? What is a different approach I can take to get this message out? And I think that's what it's all about. And then we do that on HoneyBook a lot. Like, we have these kind of like these ongoing inside jokes or stories that we tell, and we just keep telling them over and over again in different ways. And so I would say, yeah, if something doesn't land well, it doesn't mean that it's not a good message. It doesn't mean it's not a good idea, but you need to just like experiment with, you know, different approaches and just keep trying until it lands. And then when it lands, then you run with it. Then you continue kind of, you know, creating content in that format or in that way, whatever it is. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, I love that. I think number one, it just speaks to, again, that this is a long game, right? Like, it truly, honestly, it takes time and work in order. And for me personally, Gabby, when you said that, totally, that happened to me. I created a post that was surrounding storytelling and storytelling trends in a carousel post. It tanked. And I was like, nah, this is good content. Like, you can't tell me nothing. I know this is good. So I was like, bet I'm repurposing this into a reel that comes out next week, because I was like, I know this is good quality content. Yeah. And I know it is aligned with my audience. And I think, again, storytelling is key right now, especially in social media. Again, it's just really repositioning and changing your messaging, essentially. Like, if it didn't work out this way, I love when you said that, Gabby, like, that doesn't mean that it wasn't a good piece of content. That's not a reflection of you. It just means that your audience was like, the way that you shared it just didn't hit. So just change the way that you're sharing it. And I think, again, repurposing is just so important for business owners, right? Like, you don't have to consistently reinvent the wheel at all. Like, take something and then you take what you've already made in the past and either utilize that to make new content or just change the way that you're sharing it. So I absolutely love that.
I know this is kind of slightly off topic from the question, but I just have to like emphasize that, because I feel like so many independent business owners are like, I have to come up with like all this content. And like, it's stressful thinking like, how am I going to come up with all this content? But it's like, you don't have to come up with a new idea. You just come up with a different way to say the same thing. And so I would so encourage independent business owners to lean into that, and it'll make your life so much easier. Like, you know, just define, you know, certain like concepts, ideas, or content pillars for yourself, and then just keep telling it over and over again, especially like in marketing. Repetition is so important. And, you know, you don't know who you're reaching, you don't know who's coming across your content. So remembering to keep retelling those, like, those stories or ideas that are really, you know, core to your business is so important.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I was going to say at Planoly, like, we're huge on repurposing. Obviously that's part of our product, is to help people repurpose, but it just makes your life so much easier. And there's so many ways you can do it. Like you said, like, you could take a carousel post and make it a video. You can take a tweet and, you know, put it on a cute background and pop it on Instagram and make it an Instagram post. Like, repurposing is such a huge game changer for social media managers and independent business owners, especially when you just don't have the time. And you can take inspiration from things that you've already done, like you said, that have hit, and just like update it. Like, I do that all the time. I go through our past like Instagram posts that were great, and I'm like, what made this great, and how can I retell this maybe in a slightly updated way or a more modern way, because everything does move quickly. So, you know, you do need to be a little bit careful about repurposing and making sure everything's up to date, but you've already done the work. It's like already there, and the advice is still good. And like you said, you don't know who's coming across your profile, whether it's a new person or not. So, and even if they have seen the message already, like you said, repetition. So I think that's like such a good point. And that's something that like we at Planoly like live and breathe by, is repurposing.
I love that so much though, because I think, again, like, we have this misconception with social media that we are spending, especially social media managers, right? I think we have this misconception that we're spending hours on social media, like that we're breathing it day in and day out. And it's like, no, repurposing is a really, really great strategy. And so many of us business owners are repurposing all the time. I mean, I repurpose myself. And I think, again, it can, when you create a system that works really well, social media does not have to take up a lot of your time. Like, it should be fitting into your life, not the other way around. And just with both of you, this is like your primary job. It sounds like you guys have been able to really just find that balance of creating quality content, but where it's like not time consuming. And so I just love that. And I think, again, it just gives independent business owners just that view of like, all right, let me create these systems in place to where like social media is not taking my time. So taking up all of my time, so I can go back and do actually like work in my business and work on my business and grow it. So I absolutely love that. I really have enjoyed this conversation. It has been just so refreshing, honestly. And I think even as myself as an independent business owner, just continuing just to lean into what works best for me. I think we don't have to give in to trends, and especially as we continue to see things that are trendy. And even just the fact that you said, like, you know what, Unhinged is still here, but it may not be here. So, you know, really lean into strategies that are going to be sustainable for you. And so I have loved that. And so I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on this question, because we close out with every single guest. And so you both are no different. What do you think is the biggest differentiator between the businesses that succeed and the ones that fail?
I probably sound like a broken record, but I think authenticity is just the number one thing. And like I said, for Gen Z, like, it's so important to be authentic. You know, this generation doesn't want to be sold to. There's just so much fatigue around ads and sales promotions, et cetera. So finding a way to connect with this generation and with your audience specifically in a way that is authentic, where you're not pretending that you're not selling something, but you're also not like directly selling it. It's a very fine line, and it's a hard thing to do, but there is a way where you can naturally connect with your audience and be like, hey, I can help you solve this problem, like, and just knowing what that problem is. But also, I think having fun with your content is huge. I think that businesses that succeed are not afraid to like have fun. I mean, personally, the posts that do the best for Planoly, I find, are most of the time the ones that I have the most fun creating. And so if you can just tap into that creativity and that fun, like, it should be fun. It's supposed to be fun. And lean into that and find like a way to infuse the joy you have for your business and like kind of put that onto your social. I think that your audience will see that and they'll resonate with you. And everyone likes brands they can trust. So if you like come vulnerably as like you, and this is your personality, and this is the problem you're trying to solve, like, I think that your audience will see that.
I second all of that. I don't know if I'm someone to say what makes a successful business or not, because I'm not a business owner. But if I had to take a stab at it, I guess I would say that I think a second everything Danielle said. I think all of that is so important. I would also say, I mean, this applies to social media, but I guess just a business in general, be like just being adaptable. You know, I think that's a key part of social media is, you know, it's fleeting, it's always changing. So not getting stuck in one way of doing things. And that also applies to your business, like not getting stuck in the same processes or, you know, in the same way of like running your business. I think that's the key thing, is just not being resistant to the way things evolve and change, and instead like embracing them and being like, okay, and that could be like your services, that could be your social media, that could be your business processes, like literally everything. That is my educated guess, although I'm not a business owner, so I can't actually say.
I'm going to be real. I'm not a business owner either, but this is all just my observation, but
I mean, that's fair. You know what I mean? I get that. But you both work very closely with independent business owners. Yes. You know what I mean? And so I think what you both have said is so, so valuable and so valid, because I agree. I think adaptability is key. I think that's the biggest difference between businesses that will be here in the future, truly, like being able to adapt and innovate. And even Danielle, with what you said, allowing yourself to be stretched, like being okay, being uncomfortable, leaning into that and embracing just like the unknown. Like I'm even like twitching now, just like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, you have to like, it's hard. It's hard being uncomfortable, but just like leaning into that anyways. But I just love that. Like being okay with being stretched, being okay with being uncomfortable and leaning into the unknown, and just adapt as things shift, because things are always going to shift. I think that in life and in business, you know, and to what you said earlier too, Danielle, is that, you know, like your target audience, they always change, like we evolve. And so again, just, I thought what both of you both shared was so, so valuable. Despite the fact that you're both not business owners, mm-hmm. I think everything that you shared today is independent business owners can still walk away with it. So thank you both so much for coming on the show. I have absolutely enjoyed this. And y'all, please check out the Planoly social media. Check out HoneyBook social media. I mean, they're both just – it's a ride. So definitely come and join along. And both, thank you so much for being here. And everybody else listening, until next time.
Thank you so much.
That ends our episode of the Independent Business Podcast. Everything we've discussed today can be found at podcast.honeybook.com. Head to our website to access for show notes, relevant links, and all of the resources that you need to level up. And if you've enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you never miss our future content. Drop us a review and leave our guests some love on social. And thank you again for listening.